Well, hello again. It's myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth podcast. And I'm delighted to have you here with me on the podcast. And I want to speak today about a fella called Onesimus and another lad called Philemon. And the Apostle Paul writes to Philemon about Onesimus. Now, if you want to read the story in the scripture, you can turn to the book of Philemon. It's just one chapter. It's easy to read. It's great. And here from verse 10 of it, I'll read you a little bit. It says, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I've begotten while in my chains. Now, this is Paul, the apostle, writing from jail. And he goes on to say about Onesimus, who was once unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. And I'm sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is, my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, but as it were voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Wow, that's a wonderful gospel message in there. Did you hear it? It's wonderful, all about this fellow who runs away from home. He steals, runs away from home. He gets saved in jail where the Apostle Paul is. It's a wonderful little letter about the restoration of a fallen person. And so here it is. I don't know what he did in the household, but he was in Philemon's household, and evidently he steals, and he gets it down to Rome, and he thinks he's going to be free from his master, so to speak. But here he meets the Apostle Paul, and he gets converted, and he's returned to his master. And in this letter, we find the story of degradation. We find an instance of preordination. We find a picture of imputation. And I doubt whether we'll have time to do a case of reconciliation and an example of regeneration, but they're all found there in that marvelous little letter. So in this little book, I can see one thing for sure is the Lord loves evangelism. He loves soul winning. The Holy Spirit is the soul winner. God, the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit soul winning machine. And so this story starts with a story of degradation. It's written to this man, Philemon, who lives in the city of Colossae. Onesimus is a slave, hated living there with him. You see, Philemon was a Christian, and not everybody likes to be around Christians. You say, but he's a slave. You know something, that was part of the culture in that day. And I'm sure Philemon, being a Christian man, was very good to his slaves, to his employees. Likewise today, you know, if you're a Christian employer, be good to your people. Be generous with your people. That's the Christian way to do it. But Onesimus, he didn't like it, didn't like this Christian master. And he's living in a house where they have church. They have a church. in Philemon's house. You could read the chapter, you can see it. And so he would have heard the gospel often. But he rebels against it and he robs his master and he takes the road to Rome. And there he hides in the slums and the back streets amongst the gangs of thieves which infested the imperial city. He mixes with the scum of society. You know, it was a very dangerous time for slaves because 400 slaves were rounded up and publicly executed. A dangerous time. But Onesimus hopes to make a living. How would he make a living? Well, thievery. Big city, be a thief, turn to crime. But it didn't work for Onesimus because he was thrown in jail. Arrested, thrown in jail. And do you know, that's just the picture of the sinner. Running from God. Onesimus was on the run. Before we're saved, we're on the run. Living in sin and imprisoned, bondage. That's what we are before we're saved. Bondage to sin and bondage to Satan. Living in sin, imprisoned, running from God. You say, I'm not running from God. Well, are you saved? No? Well, then you're running from God. You're running from God. We've all done it. And as such, Onesimus and we unsaved people were enemies of God, under judgment, under wrath. Oh, wrath? Yeah, God hates sin. He's angry at sin. All sin is an attack, a rebellion against him. He is pure and holy, and he must do something about sin. He can't let it go, and he must punish it. And that's why Jesus came, to take the punishment for our sins. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he lovely? He lived and he loved and he died for us. That's wonderful. But before Christ, we're under wrath. We're sitting in death row, chuckling to ourselves like idiots. But if we don't get saved, folks, you'll end up in a place where you'll be able to light your pipe with your finger. And this was the case with Onesimus. And we see not only here a story of degradation, we see an instance of preordination. Onesimus is thrown into jail and he meets a preacher who he would have known because he would have heard all about him. Preacher who had, in fact, pointed his former boss to Christ. In verse 10, you can read that. Verse 10, you want me to read it for you? Oh, yeah. Well, no, just reread it yourself. It's wonderful. And so he's thrown into a Roman jail. Is this a coincidence? No, this isn't a coincidence. This is God ordering his life. Now get the picture. Here we see Onesimus. Working in Colossae, he's untouched by the gospel. And only one man to get through to him. Only one man and one man only. But he isn't in Colossae. He's in Rome in jail. So what are we going to do? How are we going to get him to hear the gospel through this one man who could uniquely use him or uniquely give the gospel to him? How do we get Onesimus to Rome? Oh, maybe send him some support. Missionaries always need support. Yeah, but Onesimus, if he'd wanted to, could have gone to Rome with the support, but then he wouldn't have stayed to hear the gospel. No. Well, how do we get him to Rome then? Well, it's simple. Let the devil do it. Let the devil get him there. And I believe the devil came and tempted him and said, Onesimus, you can steal, your master is wealthy. You can steal and go to Rome. And he did it. He stole and he ran away and made his way down to Rome. The devil thinks, that will upset Philemon, that horrid little Christian. Oh my goodness. I'll ask him a question. Why doesn't your God take better care of you? I'll ask him that question. I mean, here you are, you hold a church in your home and you're the Christian testimony and you get robbed? Ha, you've got such a lousy God. Well, if Philemon was ever shaken in his faith, we never hear about it. I believe Philemon understood Romans 8:28, and if you're a believer, try to understand Romans 8:28. That all things work together for good for them that love the Lord, to them that are the called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. Philemon, you've been stolen from, but it's good. Oh, it's not good that you're stolen from, but it's going to work together for good. Why do you know that? Because you love the Lord. And you're called. You love the Lord and you're called. It's a wonderful scripture. It's a hard scripture too. Hard scripture not to memorize, but to walk in it. But I encourage you to do it. Philemon didn't say, all my money's stolen, or lots of my money stolen. A lot of thanks I get for having a church in my house. Which, just by the way, if the Lord wanted to speak to him, if Philemon ever had that attitude, and the Lord wanted to speak to him, he would have said, hey, Philemon, wait a minute, mate. It's not your money, it's mine. It's my money. Why do you say that? Because I'm the Lord. I'm the Lord. That makes things workable, doesn't it? Well, anyway, back to Onesimus. The bold Onesimus ends in jail. And he's put into jail, slap bang, into the cell, no doubt, where his master's father in the Lord was residing. The worst thing that could have happened to him being thrown into jail was actually the best thing that could have happened to him. And it's the same today. I've seen in my ministry people getting injured or car wrecks or whatever. They end up in jail and they think, they don't end in jail. They end up in hospital. Some of them do end up in jail, but they end in hospital. And they say, oh, this is terrible. But they're put into a ward beside a believer who gives them the gospel, and they end up getting saved. And they are able to think that, oh, my goodness, the thing I thought was the bad thing is actually a good thing. I got the gospel. I was given the gospel. Listen to me. Nothing just happens. Hello? I'll say it again. Nothing just happens. You're not hearing this sermon by chance. This is not an accident that you are listening to this. Well, I decided to listen to it. Well, yeah, but who was behind all that? The Lord. Nothing just happens. Hey, you may be a runaway. You may be someone who was raised in a godly home and your father and mother were prayer warriors, but you ran away, so to speak. You ran away. You're on the run. Won't you trust Jesus? Won't you put your faith in him? Won't you ask him to be your forgiver? He'll forgive you. Change your mind about him. Come to Jesus. Nothing just happens. And then we see, we see a story of degradation, a story, an instance of preordination. Then the next thing we see is a picture of imputation. The gospel is preached to Onesimus, and Onesimus gets converted. And Paul then sends him back to Philemon. And says, look, here's a covering letter. What does he say in the letter? Well, he doesn't say, well, just let him work off the debt. Let him work off the debt. No, that's not the gospel. In the gospel, you don't work off the debt. Paul says, receive him as you receive myself. If he owes you anything, verse 18, this is key. If he owes you anything, charge it to my account. That's saturated with the gospel. Onesimus is in debt. He stole, he robbed, he's in debt. But don't make him work it off. Charge it to my account. That's the very heart of the gospel. Oh, Onesimus, Paul says, I'll sell your debt. And in the gospel, the son says to the father, receive him as you receive myself. If he owes you anything, charge it to my account. Oh, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stone. He washed it white as snow. That's the heart of the gospel. All our sin was reckoned to Jesus. It was put on him. It was reckoned. And he was treated as the worst sinner. He hung there between heaven and earth like an ownerless dog. And he was punished and wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquity. What a Savior. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, is his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Yep, Paul became chargeable for Onesimus, and Jesus became chargeable for us, his people. I read once about an old Scottish minister who was visiting an unbeliever who was on his deathbed. And the minister said, Jock, yeah, isn't it time to really settle things with the Lord? Well, says Jock, he says, you know, it's all very well. I think God's a merciful God, and he'll be merciful to me. Won't he? Just he'll be merciful to me. He's merciful. Well, the minister left for a day or two and then went back to see him. Jock says, I've been thinking about our conversation, and I'm thinking, yes, God is merciful, but he's also just. And instead of him being merciful to me, what if he gave me justice and not mercy? And I've begun to be worried about this. This is because I'd be doomed. Minister, how can I be saved? And the minister explained that Christ had died instead of the believer, and that God could be just and the justifier of them that believe. And there's no contradiction in that. He can be just and the justifier, because he came to this earth and took our sins. Oh, yes. And now, just the way sin was reckoned to Jesus or imputed to Jesus, so now his righteousness is imputed, is reckoned, is calculated to us. And we receive what he did by faith. The man from his dying bed said, wow, he said, that's something I could rest on. And he trusted, he rested on the Lord Jesus Christ as his substitute and sin bearer. There's nothing else that we can trust in. Nothing else. Won't you trust him today? Won't you trust him? He's not asking for anything from you. He just says, here, give me yourself. Trust me. Trust me to be the Savior. That's why I came. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Just do business with him. I've got to finish this off. But we've seen, okay, I'll just very briefly, here we see not only the story of degradation and the instance of preordination and the picture of imputation, we see a case of reconciliation. Onesimus is reconciled to Philemon. my God is also reconciled. Because, listen, my God has reconciled his pardoning voice I hear. He owns me as his child. I can no longer fear. With confidence I now draw nigh and Abba, Father, Abba, cry. We're brought back to God through Jesus Christ, through his atonement. We're brought back to God. Isn't it wonderful? You can't work your way back to God. I can't work my way to God, but Jesus has reconciled us. By his shed blood, he's reconciled us. We can now treat God as our Father, go to God as our Father. And just by the way, I was thinking earlier today, how ridiculous it is for an unsaved man to pray the disciples' prayer. You know the disciples' prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You don't want his name to be hallowed. I've been in churches where they repeat that prayer like at record speed, like they're in a sprint. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, listen, don't pray it if he's not your Father. But pray it and claim it if he's your Father. Our Father which art in heaven. How is he your Father? Or he becomes our Father? Through the blood. Put your trust in him. Look, I'm going to leave that here and say that's the gospel truth. And my name is Miles McKay. If you know people who would like to get this little podcast, email me at miles@milesmckay.com. If there's any way I can help you with the gospel, email me, miles@milesmckay.com. And I'll get back with you. And that is the gospel truth.